Welcome to CRA Tips, a series created for CRA practitioners. We know that managing the Community Reinvestment Act program for your financial institution can be challenging, given the plethora of competing priorities. We know you're busy, so we will keep it tight and to the point. The weekly CRA tips are designed to give you something quick to digest in between our CRA webinars, our newsletters, and blog posts. And for those of you who are new to me, I'm Linda Izuka, your host and founder of CRA Today and the CRA Hub. The CRA Hub is an exclusive membership for bankers to master the Community Reinvestment Act and transform disadvantaged communities through the power of economic development. And if you are joining the podcast for the first time or are new to CRA Today, you will find that I'm very passionate about this community development work. So now let's get right to it. Enjoy the tip. Welcome back to the CRA podcast. We'll continue our focus on community development loans. Today, we're going to take a deeper dive into the economic development hook. This is often an overlooked aspect of community development loans, but it plays a crucial role in strengthening local economies. So let's get started and explore economic development in community development loan mining. Recently, we discussed the importance of financing small businesses for community development. Small business lending is a foundational aspect of how we serve our community, of course. Today, I'll show you how to identify community development loans that were originated to small businesses to support your community development loan portfolio. So let's begin with a size and purpose test for qualifying a loan as a community development loan under the economic development hook. As mentioned in a previous podcast, when qualifying a CD loan under the economic development hook, you'll need to meet the size and purpose test. First, in order to meet that size test, the borrower must be considered a bona fide small business per the SBA standards. Second, that borrower, or the purpose of the loan, must also then retain or create jobs for low or moderate income individuals. So let's take a look at two examples. If you had a borrower, let's say a law firm, for example, as you know, that law firm might be a qualified small business, but those salaries, attorneys and legal assistants, they might be skewed more closer to middle and upper income positions, right? Let's look at a different loan, maybe a loan to a restaurant. Well, the employment opportunities that are typically consistent with running a restaurant are entry level, like bussers and dishwashers and the like. And those representative positions and salaries tend to be closer aligned with low and moderate income salaries. So based on my experience, oftentimes our lenders or underwriters don't actually put salary information or job information into the credit write-ups. That's not an essential element, oftentimes, of getting a loan approved, right? So since that is not naturally in the credit write-up, CRA professionals then have to make some reasonable assumptions of what might be a representative salary or position within that type of industry. So this is how we approach that. As you know, the CRA has a Q&A, and we rely upon that often. And within the Q&A, talks about how you can make a reasonable assumption when you're looking at primary purpose. So under the primary purpose definition, you're allowed to make a reasonable assumption if the activity accomplishes or is reasonably certain to accomplish the community purpose involved. Now, in the best of worlds, of course, we would have this information in the credit write-up or in the notes from our lenders, nicely put into a shared file. So you may not actually have to call the borrower, right? Because that might be regulatory overreach. We're allowed to make some general reasonable assumption. But if you make these assumptions, you also have to document your approach and defend it to your regulator. So let's explore a couple of different types of small businesses that may qualify as community development loans. So under the economic development hook, some common examples might be some small businesses that you might lend to, like retailers or landscapers, sales type of operations, manufacturing, warehousing, right? Personal services such as hair salons and nail salons. So all of these businesses must be essentially a small business per the SBA standards, right? That's the first part of the hook. So you must make sure that first under economic development that that business is considered small. Now, typically we look at, well, does that business have gross annual revenue of $1 million or less? However, as many of you know, you can expand this definition by using the SBA size standards by NAICS code. This allows you to broaden what might be considered small business. I know. Not everybody knows about that, but it's a common practice, and we cover that within the CRA Hub and all of the workshops CRA Today offers. Now, so let's say we made a loan to a small business. Now let's move on to the purpose test, right? Size and purpose test under economic development. So under purpose test, we need to make sure that the loan as a primary purpose of community development, size and purpose in this context means, are you supporting job retention or creation for low or moderate income individuals? So as I mentioned a little bit earlier, when we're talking about those salaries and positions, now we're going to switch to, well, how do you actually document those representative jobs? So when we're looking at that, we often reference the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the BLS.gov. The website has valuable information and representative jobs and income levels based on location. So this resource is often used in practice and in fact preferred by a lot of our regulatory agencies. So as you know, the BLS is just one aspect. You'll need to also compare that to the area median income and look at the representative salaries. Now, after you look up the representative jobs, then of course you have to compare it to area median income of where the loan proceeds will be applied. Now, I'm getting a little too technical. Of course, this is a podcast, but you'll want to do that extra step next. Then it's important that you gather all of your documentation and your approach to prove that your loan has a primary purpose of community development. You'll want to have screenshots of the relevant information, such as the SBA NAICS code, if applicable. Of course, you'll have the credit write-up. You'll have BLS data, some area median income calculations to support your analysis. By having this clear record of your research, you can demonstrate that, in fact, this loan has a primary purpose of community development under the size and purpose test under the economic development hook. It's worth noting that today I went a little more technical. And of course, while we're aiming to provide some guidance, interpretation is going to vary across different regulatory bodies and examiners. So be prepared to make your best business decision to support your reasoning and your decision for when you are in your exam. So have your documentation on the ready. So this episode was a little more technical. I suggest that you find a peer to vet transactions or a community of peers like the CRA Hub. Periodically, CRA Today runs CD Loan Challenge workshops to help you through these type of technical details so that you can move forward with certainty. I hope you found this a little helpful and that it inspired you to take a second look of this very often overlooked an underrepresented aspect of community development loans. And until next time, bye for now.
Well, I hope this week's CRA tip was helpful and adds value to you and your CRA program. If you want to take a deeper dive into core concepts of the Community Reinvestment Act and connect with your CRA colleagues, you may want to consider joining the CRA Hub. We go live weekly with CRA-specific activities like core content training, Q&A sessions, challenges, guest speakers, and more. Check out cratoday.com/hub to learn more. Until the next CRA podcast episode, take care of you. Bye for now.